Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to the Jewel Network Science Broadcast. Greetings and welcome to the Jewel Network Science Broadcasting Frequency. The Jewel Network is a radio frequency of continuous streaming science, knowledge, and wisdom, which promotes and sustains the activation of the present evolutionary process of immortality and the unfolding of the God Self within the evolving planetary society on planet Earth. The Jewel Network is committed to broadcasting the sciences of life and the sciences of living. By cultivating the mind of a scientist, you are being able to extract the very best the current 21st century has to offer. You are listening to the Dr. Jewel's Brain Balancing Program and more with your host, physician and surgeon, microbiologist, preventive medicine and hygiene physician, and Surgeon General, Dr. Jewel Pogue. You are listening to the Jewel Network Science Radio Broadcasting Frequency. The Jewel Network provides the neural nutrition and stimulates expansion and evolution of the human brain, nervous system, and body. Remember, our source is a neuron.
Greetings, everyone. How are you? And thank you for calling in to your Universal Support Group show. And today we are speaking to you about purpose. But before we get started, of course, I want you to always welcome our facilitator in residence who's training to have her own Universal Principle Support Group in her town, Miss Felicia Mohammed. Welcome, Felicia. How are you?
Greetings. Namaste. I am great. How are you?
Okay, I'm fine. You know, I'm just looking at all the wires. I'm twisted up in here, but it's just wonderful. It's just great. So many things are going on here. So, you know, those who tuned in to us last Wednesday, they know that we talked about self-love. And, of course,
yes,
that's a very, very broad topic. And we have a lot more that we're going to talk about in relationship to what love is and loving self looks like, but also
mm-hmm.
to purpose. Purpose is the key for each and everyone's life. And just like everything else, it has different levels.
Right.
That finally make the apex of what it is that you're discussing. We're discussing what reality is about. We're going to break that down. So
yes,
without further ado, our sponsors are going to be talking to you in just a moment, and then we're going to be coming back talking about purpose is the key and bringing greater insight into love and self-love. So don't forget,
yes,
now, the last half of the show, we'll give you the number. You can call us at 347-215-9531, 347-215-9531.
Yes.
And we'll tell you when to call us because we don't want you to block your line up for 20, 25 minutes. But just write that down. So when we say, we'll answer questions now, you can just come right in. So we'll be right back after this message. Be right back.
Humanity is experiencing a vast variety of disorders, HIV, Zika virus, Ebola, hypertension, meningitis, STD, Alzheimer's, and many others. These disorders are the results of not knowing how to live within and navigate the human body. Most of us have learned how to drive a car, but have yet to learn how to care for and navigate our bodies. Enroll into the Jewel University of Immortal Sciences for Immortal Living to learn how to navigate and maintain a disease-free body. Visit us at www.juis.education or visit us on Facebook.
Okay, well, Miss Felicia,
yes,
here we are again, another Wednesday, and we are continuing the discussion on love and the relationship to one's life purpose. Now, you know, I wanted to interject here some things that we didn't discuss last week,
okay,
about self-love, and I just wanted to make sure that all of our listeners clearly understand what our definition of love is. Okay.
Yes.
Now,
yes,
let's take it from a more quantum perspective. OK, okay, from a quantum perspective means that we're talking about the subatomic state of reality, okay, the quanta. And so from that perspective, everything is now what? Light. Everything is light. So whether it's the car that you're sitting in or, you know, the smoothie that you may be drinking, you're sitting in and you're consuming light. This is so important to get that. Okay? So therefore, then what is love? So if the car that you're sitting in is light and the smoothie you're drinking is light, the person who's walking across the street in front of you is light, then what is love? Obviously, it's light. It is light. Love is light. And then now what is light composed of? Photons, little teeny, weeny, weeny, weeny subatomic particles, and they compose all the space that you're sitting in. So you're always sitting in light. Amazing.
Always sitting in love. Wow.
Always right. And so therefore then, what is love?
Yes.
Love, from the quantum definition, is the capacity to hold the light particles together, the quantum particles. So you're always in light, but when you decide, I want a new car, by the quantum definition, your focus on having that new car, which allows you to see the color, allows you to see how many passengers it can seat, how fast it could go, that is love. So the bottom line about what love is, it's focus, it's desire, and your willingness to hold on to the vision is love. It is the force that allows those light particles to come together and vibrate together to such an extent that it becomes dense. And that density is what we call mass, and mass is what you define as your reality. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's
been
a lot then about people who are constantly amassing drama. Confusion. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
Undermining of the self and a lot of other things that they see basically break up communication, break up relationships, separate people. To the quantum world, that is the force, the love that you are using to bring that into reality. But we know what happens. It's short-lived, it's uncomfortable, and eventually when anyone is exposed to that use of the mind for any length of time, it becomes destructive.
Destructive,
yeah.
Yeah,
it does.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so this is a definition and a new insight into the physics of existence that is just now being taught to us, just now in the present being released to your consciousness. So we have this perception of love based on what our environment has taught us, what we're able to sense from the body. But we really are not able to understand how we can create at will, and if what we are thinking and seeing is really the type of love that we want,
that we desire.
See, we're still thinking
that
we're still thinking that, you know, somebody's got to give it to us, we can't have it for ourselves, and we've got to do all kind of things for people to give it to us. No, that's not correct. That's not how it really works. So that when we recognize that we are desirous of something from ourselves or someone else, etc., that is love. You're using the light that creates all reality, but did you really want to do that? And that's why now learning how is the end result of how we're using our thoughts going to affect the reality that our thinking just by itself is going to create. Mm-hmm. And so when people then accuse other people, oh, you don't love me, and this, that, and the other, and that, you know, how come you can like her and love not me and whatever else, they don't understand that how could something so cosmic, so ubiquitous, have any preference per se for anyone or any group that is able to hold a focus? No, everybody's thinking all the time. So love does not have limitations, as a lot of people think. So to take that to the next level, okay, how can you love one person and not love everybody else? Because it's all about light and what you focus on. But the light itself doesn't work that way unless you put the limitations on it, and this is a real issue. So how do we conduct ourselves through this, et cetera? Well, as I looked over and out into our world, I recognize that there's a lot of information that we're not aware of that would give us a greater finite use, a more healthier use of our thinking processes. Okay, so it's like to ask a person, for example, to just only love you when everything is love, okay, then what about everyone else? Okay, so they're to not be thought about anymore, because that's what you're asking. You're asking a person not to think, because just the capacity to think is love to the quanta world. Do you understand that? Isn't that something?
Yeah, that is something.
That when you, yeah, when you think, regardless of what it is, that's love to the quanta world, and that's why the quanta is going to be magnified to your thought.
And give you
now,
whatever
once
you
that
think
thought,
about.
Right, so once that thought collects enough light unto itself, it's going to get denser and denser and denser and manifest in your world. So just think about people who are thinking about bringing harm to others. In the quanta world, that's love. But then as it gets denser and denser and becomes more of a reality, and someone then thinks to the extent, focuses on that until they allow their body to be the vehicle through which that action will be executed, has created that whole experience. And then in this realm, at this level, there are reactions and actions that will be taking place relative to that behavior. Relative to that behavior. Right. And it was all done, and check that out, it was all done in the name of love.
In the name
of
love.
At the quanta level.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And just
and
to
so
add
therefore,
that,
that
word ubiquitous, so in the audience, I'm giving y'all the definition, because when you listen to the show, you want to know what the words mean. So ubiquitous means present, appearing, or found everywhere.
Exactly.
Okay, go ahead, doctor.
So therefore, right. So therefore, people say they didn't mean it. That really is not accurate. It's not accurate, because there's no way that a event can manifest around you or through you if you were not contributing, or the complete origin of the event via your thinking.
Your thinking. Wow.
Right.
Wow.
To the quantum world, your thought is love. And that's why they basically gravitate to it. And then it finally becomes dense enough where it then now becomes physical. So a good example, very simple example, I don't know if people really eat Jell-O a lot like we used to as a child. But, you know, you have the hot water, and then you have this powder, and you mix them together, and you stir it up, and it's all liquid. And then you just let it sit, and then it gets upon and within itself. It gets thicker and thicker, and the liquidity of it is diminished. It becomes more solid, more solid, more solid. And depending upon how much, quote, gelatin you put in it, it can literally get almost as stiff as a brick. that you can cut it with a knife. Here it is, right before your very eyes. Starts out as liquid, okay, and then it gets jelly-like, and then it gets stiff as a brick. It takes on the whole shape of the vessel that you mix the water and the gelatin in. And then you can actually take it, cut it, and then throw it. And depends on what it hits, it won't even separate. It'll keep its shape.
Keep its shape, yeah.
Right. And that's what happens with your thinking. That's what happens with your thinking. It starts out very fluid. We call that plasmic. Okay? And then as you continue to hold the thought and hold the thought and hold the thought, it gets thicker and thicker and denser and denser. And then by the time it takes on the actual shape of your thought, it now is physical. And you brought that into this dimension and to the quantum level, because the quantum level doesn't deal with what we perceive as right or wrong or good or bad. It's just a thought. And so therefore it's like, wow, to the quantum, to the light particles, it's like, love, look at that. Let's go together.
Yes.
And so they're all gravitating, gravitating, gravitating. And this is what they precipitate at this level of reality. Okay? And so therefore now you're looking at the quality of your thoughts and what they manifested. Yeah. In the name of so-called love at the quantum level. Isn't that something?
Yeah, I look at love a totally different way now. OMG.
Yeah. Now, let's take it to a new level because we want to talk about purpose here, okay, before our sponsors come up. Yeah, we want to take it to a new level. What is now going to happen is the fact that we have to look at brain function. Now, this took me a long time to learn, Ms. Mohammed, and so as you are here learning and listening, et cetera, you're going to have to recognize that in the members of your support group, that everybody's coming in with, you know, two arms and two legs and feet and hands and one head, et cetera. They are seeing reality differently.
Totally.
And they're all seeing reality differently because of how the brain has been formed and shaped by two things. Three things. Their thinking at the moment, their environment, and the thoughts that they inherited from their family.
Yes.
That's what we're always contending with everyone. So we're always looking at, okay, how is their brain functioning based on the moment, their environment, and then what they inherited from the family. Yes, yes, I hear some of you. Thoughts are inherited. Yes, they are. Very much so. Okay. And we know that because I've heard quite a few women like, yeah, you know, my little nephew, it's amazing. You know, he's only 6 months old, and I tell you, he's acting just like his aunt. Now, he only, the little body only been activated, you know, activated for 6 months. But everybody can recognize that behavior. Acting just like his aunt. And, oh, don't let him get older. You got ways just like your mother. People say that to
right.
the little child. You're acting just like your grandmother used to act, okay? And the little child is only 4 years old. Like, what are you really talking about here? And they, you know, they never
right.
met the person. But already you've identified their gestures, their behavior, all that stuff. Because, yes, we do inherit it. Now, this known as epigenetics, but most people don't really know much about that. It's not really put out there on the TVs and the radios and the magazines because it's going to move everybody to a whole new level of understanding who they are, why they are, and why they behave the way that they
do. Yes.
Right. And so, therefore, family lineage is critical here, okay, for you to understand that if you come from a history, for example, you know, very common. I'm the first generation of people that I know of, and when I say I, I'm not talking about me, but I'm just saying it, individuals who've got on the TV, whatever else, and they say I'm the first generation of people who have ever graduated from college.
Mm-hmm.
That,
yeah.
That's a mindset. That is a mindset that all of these generations prior to you, they never went to college. And it would be very interesting to be able to go back and get the history of what that perception was about relative to every individual who made a choice not to do that.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
We
mm-hmm.
have to find out what that's about, okay? Because it was something intentional. It was something that was they call incidental, secondarily, or what was it? Everybody's always been in the family business. So their education came through apprenticeship, being in the family, working with the family, et cetera, and they're carrying it on. So therefore, you know, going to an institution to learn something different was not paramount or necessary. So we have to look at what are the people saying when they make these statements about family lineages or even institutions, because it's a mindset, it's how the brain has been used that we are talking about this. So therefore, now we go into purpose, okay?
Okay. Yeah, before we do that, though, Dr. Jewel, let's let our sponsors hear from us. Yeah, let's hear from our sponsors. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Be right back, you all.
What does the 21st century hold for you? The opportunity to create all you desire in this 21st century is awaiting you in Alaska. Come, join Dr. Jewel and the world-famous Stephanie South from the Law of Time in Anchorage in Fairbanks, Alaska, September 17th through September 23rd for a total life-transforming experience under the Northern Lights auroras. Visit www.juis.education or call 770-383-2112 for details.
Okay, so Ms. Muhammad.
Yes.
Ms. Felicia.
Yes, yes.
Can you give us a definition here of what you perceive purpose is?
Yes, so what I perceive purpose is is knowing my reason for being, my role, why am I here, and what do I have to contribute to this universal existence, okay? So when I was looking at the manual, our Universal Principal Support Group manual, and in there it was talking to us about to master the game of life, there is no more valuable step you can take than to become aware of your life's purpose. So when you can answer the question, what is my individual role in the universe? What is my individual role in the universe? And we hear that all the time. People say, why am I here? What am I here for? What am I supposed to be doing? When you can answer the question, what is my individual role in the universe? You benefit fully from the beauty, the power, and the perfection of our magnificent universe. So,
well,
as I was growing up, that was my question, and I got some answers, that's for sure. So you will get answers.
Well, let me say a little bit more about that, because now this is critical, and this is why we have so many people that blow it, okay?
Yeah.
Because, for example, I can definitely testify to the fact that many people who decide to destroy their physical bodies, because see, you can never kill yourself. You're a life force, a being. So you are immortal. You can never die. So therefore, when you make your physical body so weakened, poisoning it with drugs or, you know, mortally injuring it, you're still very much alive. And we look at why would you basically bring harm into and onto your tool that is here for you to master this dimension. And what we find is that when we look at the lives of many of these individuals, they did wonderful things for other people. They made astounding discoveries, and they gave incredible gifts to us. But now, totally accepting that was their purpose in life. They couldn't, and they really didn't understand that it was, because they were so busy looking for a specific thing.
Thing, yeah.
So they miss it. So it's like everybody's saying, this is wonderful how you did this and you did that, and look at what you built and look at what you shared with us, et cetera. And the person goes home every evening feeling as though they didn't do anything.
Mm.
And they still asking the question, why am I here? You know, what is this about? Because they're not feeling it, they think, from the inside. But they are manifesting it. So we
and that's
where
that self love comes
in,
right?
Yeah. We have many great people that have done wonderful things, and they still don't get it. That when you have the capacity to bring light, excitement, a sense of purpose, beingness, and gratification to others, you've been on purpose, very much so. So what is this little teeny seed that you're looking for in the sand when the sand is the reality? Okay, like you keep looking for this little teeny needle here in the sand, and everything else is just dismissed, when the sand is really what it's all about. And this is why it's so important to do what? And I find that people don't have balanced brains. They will always do this to themselves, that they will always miss the obvious, that they will not be able to be accountable for the relationship of everything else, as they're going through life doing incredible things and never appreciating it. And, of course, they're polite and they'll say, thank you. We really, you know, we will take this award and, you know, we're in the newspapers and whatever else. But when they leave the notes after they've destroyed their body, they'll talk about how lonely they were. You know, I just hope that, you know, you'll forgive me, but, you know, I'm just tired of not whatever. And they've been doing it all the time.
All the time. So, Dr. Jewel, let me ask you, when you talked about that sand, what would an example of the sand be that one could relate to in their life that they're just overlooking?
Well, I think that, you know, a vivid example that anybody could tune into and get a stable history of their life would be a person like Anthony Bourdain.
Okay.
You know, Miss Spade. You know, everybody's got her purse and they waiting in line to get them and all this kind of stuff, et cetera. And, you know, she's over here in the corner in her life, in her mind, whining about one thing. But look at all the other things that she's been able to do and bring gratification to people that she just never even has to meet.
Yeah, okay. Got it.
Because she was willing to see a vision and reproduce it and share it with everybody. Mr. Bourdain, it's the same thing. He's gone all around the world. He's eaten these restaurants. And, you know, for example, you know, he started out with a very sparse existence. He says very little about his parents. You know, he started out here in the corner in a restaurant as a dishwasher. And he decided, okay, let's do some cooking. Started cooking. Everybody's demanding that they get his meal, the one that he cooked. So then he goes and starts a restaurant. They love it. Cookbooks, everything. And it's just continuous explosion, just like roses continuously budding on the rose bush. And the rose every year, every cycle gets bigger and bigger, more aromatous, et cetera. And then now people are paying him to go all around the world, go in everybody else's restaurant, kitchens, sit with them, find out what the latest. He's going all around the world, meeting all these wonderful people, their circumstances, whether it's just a little meager bowl of soup or, you know, some great big, you know, 13 servants. He's taken the whole gambit of cuisine, eating, socializing with people over meals, learning about their culture, looking at how they live, how they grow the food, everything, to a whole new level. That is the actual sand, the desert that I'm talking about, and you're still
gotcha.
Digging around here looking for one little needle.
Mm. Wow.
The sand was very much on purpose. All the people who, for whatever reason, whether they have poor health or, you know, just can't think that the reality that they could basically wind up in China, you know, in Beijing eating this and over here in France eating that, et cetera. But he was able to allow them to have an experience with those places that they would never have been able to have on their own. So he's enriched the lives of tens of millions of people. What a great reason for being on the planet. That is what we're here about, because when we enrich our lives, we then are enriching all the other humans' lives. Yes, we are. Whether we can identify it so vividly as he did or Miss Spade did, the point is that purpose is always associated with sharing one's love with everyone else of your species. Everybody's purpose is that. And so it doesn't matter whether it is very much contained or whether you have that wonderful opportunity to be very visual and vivid. So we constantly are finding out about people who discovered this, or we found out that they wrote that, or they were the ones that were responsible for this particular paper that I love, or the pen that I love to write with, or the shoes that I wear. Eventually, your purpose is going to touch everyone. And so just your willingness to do what you love doing genuinely is your purpose. So for myself as a physician, you know, nobody would have ever told me I'd have been the chancellor of a university. I did not go to med school in consciousness thinking that I was going to be one of the founding mothers of reminding you that you're immortal, of reminding you that this is a natural state of your existence, and setting up a university to teach you how to finally be more of the natural innate qualities that you inherited. Nobody could have told me that when I went to med school decades ago. Are you kidding? I would have like, are you crazy? No. But my willingness to recognize, and that was the first thing that really touched me in med school, when I looked inside that body in gross anatomy, When you pull that skin back and I looked at those tissues and I looked at how they were attached and how so many things were laying together and how they were functioning, it was the most incredible work of art I had ever seen. I knew that there was a consciousness that was just awesome, that had the capacity to put this together. If you want to call it God or Allah or whatever, that mind was awesome.
Yes.
Awesome. I was like, what? Look at this. I mean, it was, I'm just telling you. And then when you take a slice of the gross anatomy and then you go to microscopic examination of all of these tissues, it's amazing. It even gets more awesome. I mean, you just have to almost back up off the microscope.
Wow.
It's like, I cannot believe that this is how my liver looks, that these cells that are making my bile, that are making my glucagon, that this is how they look. Amazing. Look at the architecture, the structure, the shape. And then don't even teach you about the physiology of the chemical reactions that are going on in these little teeny tissues that you have to magnify to see. Who thinks like that? That was my question. Who thinks like that? Okay. Who is thinking like this, that they can make this gross organ, and then when we break it down and look at it under magnification, all these little cells are doing this, and they all are complete within themselves, and they have their own little digestive tract and their own little batteries and their own little manufacturing plants and everything. One cell.
Wow, that light. Wow, that love. Wow, wow.
Mm. Exactly. And I'm and
like, that
is this exercise. Right. So they have, so each little cell then has its own library inside of itself called the nucleus.
What? What?
And we don't even know how many software programs are on those chromosomes inside the nucleus of the cell that is the personal library for every cell.
Good God.
The cell doesn't have to go anywhere to get any kind of information it needs to process your will. Do you understand that? Every cell has an infinite library of software programs folded and packaged up so incredibly on the carrier, which is a chromosome, that it can go within itself, check it out, find out what they need to do your will. Every cell. And then every cell is synchronized because they all committed to this one particular purpose, which is an organ. Okay? Every organ has agreed to do this one particular thing.
Yes.
The kidney has agreed to do this. The heart, this. But each cell is separate on its own. But it's keeping their agreement so that as an organ, you get one collective result.
Wow.
Isn't that awesome? And that's
that
what
is
cancer
so
is.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's what cancer is. Cancer is like, and check this out. Now, this is what I discovered, and I want somebody to prove me wrong. It's that when we start having this decomposition of our tissues, and then we start getting these rogue cells, okay, that somebody tells you that, okay, you've got cancer of the liver. Well, what are they really saying? Now, my interpretation of what love is from the quantum level, okay, which we know all these light particles are attracted to thoughts. That's the love.
Right.
That's the bond.
Right, right.
And they will continuously gather to make that thought physical. Okay? So then when we go inside the body and we look at an organ that now some of the tissues have gone off into their own thing, what was that about? What thought was that that now some of the tissues in the, for example, liver have decided to do what? Jump ship. It's like, I'm not going to do this anymore. Okay, y'all do your
own
thing,
agenda.
But I'm going over here.
They got their own
right.
agenda now.
Right, they got, I'm doing my thing over here now. Okay,
right.
What caused those cells to basically not want to keep their agreement? Why did they not want to keep the purpose? And see, what I think is so awesome about the fact is that these cells, among all the other cells who have decided to keep the agreement and stay on purpose, are so tenacious that you can't hardly kill them. And we find out that we really can't. That's why if we take these cells out of the body and just give them some food to eat, a place to stay where it's warm and they get adequate light, they grow forever. They grow forever. Exactly. That's my point. Now, this is the same cell. Check this out. This is the same cell that went rogue in your liver. Okay? You take it out of that environment and you put it in a neutral place, they're fine. And then what happens? They're like, okay, we'll see what happens if we put them on this template. Okay, well, we're going to make this template the shape of an ear. See what they do. So you take the cells and you, you know, plate them, as we call it, over the template of an ear. They grow into the ear.
Ear, wow.
And that's how we found out that, like, we can reproduce tissue and organ parts. Now, this was the same cell that went rogue in your liver, okay? We put them in a neutral place, and they calm down, okay? We then say, okay, let's see if you can, you know, make a new ear for us. They grow because they're in the geometry of the ear, and they make a new ear.
Non-cancerous.
And that ear... Right, exactly.
Yeah,
and that
right.
ear now can be sewn onto somebody's head, and it is perfect.
Wow.
So now that is why we know that thought is the mother of everything. And that's why we know that if we take tissue that is not being constantly influenced by certain qualities of thought, they are not rogue. They don't cause confusion. They will conform. But you have to understand, this is a cancer cell, and we took it out of that environment, and it calmed down. All it needed was just some food, heat, proper nutrients, and they're still alive, 80 years old. Well, we got this illusion that because you're 80 years old now, you can't change and conform and be as purposeful as you were at age 21, which is incorrect.
Yeah.
So we take the 80-year-old cells and put them on a new template shaped like an ear. They make a brand new ear.
Wow.
Because the
purpose...
So the purpose for all of us is to express our love, that is our thoughts, our thinking, in a way that not only promotes our expansion, but also is a light, a gift, an expression of love for everyone else. And it doesn't matter whether we're out in the public eye, it's just the fact that if we love our thoughts, the light loves those thoughts, and everything and everyone else composed of light will experience the benefits.
Of
so whether
love.
The purpose is, right,
yeah,
which is a thought. So
which is a thought,
to do a
right.
radio show, to help others with their diet, you know, to make and express the new technology in you that most people are not aware of, because all technology comes from the human body. Everything that you are looking at comes from the human body. These computers that are sitting in front of me, what is that? That's a quarter of one neuron of your brain. That's what a laptop is equal to. It is not even equal to one neuron in complete capability. Just a quarter, they estimate, that a good laptop here, you know, with 500 gig hard drive, that kind of thing, that's one-fourth of one neuron, and you have 80 billion.
Wow. On that, our sponsors want to share some information with you. Oh, my gosh. Think about that as we go to a station break.
Purpose is the key. Okay.
You are listening to the Jewel Network Science Radio Broadcasting Frequency. The Jewel Network provides the neural nutrition and stimulates expansion and evolution of the human brain, nervous system, and body. Remember, our source is a neuron.
Okay, well, we were just talking about that neuron, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, right. So I'm sitting here with a couple computers in front of me here, and I'm only using one half of one of my neurons here to get this show to you all, to get this information to you all. See, this is what we've got to start recognizing, and never let anyone strip you of the identity of what you're dealing with in your life at all times. You are always dealing with yourself.
Yeah,
so when we talk about purpose and the meaning for one's life, you got to get clear on that.
Right.
That you are always dealing with love. You are always dealing with the opportunity to see what your thinking is going to manifest for you. So then what is the purpose of you having this incredible body, the purpose for you to be able to think and it manifests? These are the questions that you basically want to answer. Now, I just want to give one more thing here, because purpose is a biggie, and I think that we're going to do purpose part two next week. Okay, we're going to break it down a little more for you individually. Okay.
Yeah.
But you've got to get it over to you here that a thought in the quantum world is love. Now, the key here is, are you going to be able to deal with your thinking in this physical dimension? And see, this is something to think about. I'm going to leave it with you because, you know, we want you to ask us questions, et cetera. A person thinks, I can eat some cocaine. Okay, I need some, you know, crystal meth. Okay, I need what all this other stuff, the crank and all these other things that they think of. And what do? Their thoughts manifested for them.
Yeah, they get it.
See, they got to get this, that if I think it, it's going to come.
Mm-hmm.
And now you got to be responsible for that. You know, so it's amazing to see these people before and after. You know, the skin just goes to pot. The hair, the, you know, the geometry of the body, you know, the geometry is lost, okay? The shape, size, muscle dwindling, everything. And this is your thinking. And this is reflecting your perception of love. A love is a thought in the quantum world. And so when it finally condenses enough where we see it play out here, then it's a person who's using drugs expressing their best interests relative to their sacred temple, relative to the effects that it has on their children, their relationships, and most of all on them.
On them, yeah.
Right. So therefore, the question would be to ask the person, if a thought is love, what are you seeking to think that you have a need to put into an incredible sacred temple, a drug, or a chemistry, or a food of any type that in its amount will destroy it?
Yeah. That's some responsibility. So, I think that's
right. But again,
responsibility, yeah.
A thought and the meaning of one's life determines the purpose. So when we look again at Mr. Bourdain's life, so he decides he don't want to do dishes anymore. But that helped a lot of people, all the people who came in there and was, you know, serviced at that restaurant. They all appreciated eating out of a clean dish. Now, they probably never went back there and shook his hand and said thank you for making sure that the food that was served in here was clean. But he served all those people. And when he decided, okay, what's next? Let me go over here to the grill. He started cooking. And so, therefore, more people were able to see that it was through his purpose at the moment, his thinking, that benefited them. And then he goes out front as the owner. And then he says, okay, well, let me share my recipes and all this other stuff and more restaurants. It's all purposeful. And the people missed it. They missed it. Because if they weren't enjoying and being in the moment, expressing their thoughts and seeing them manifest, then they miss the opportunity of what has even allowed them to exist, which is the love.
The love, yeah.
They missed it. They've been going around looking for a needle in the desert when the desert was what it was all about. And most people still do that to this day.
Okay, yeah.
And they won't even give themselves the opportunity to basically think a loving thought as they understand it, a thought that they really enjoy thinking and want to then be that thought. They then say, well, I can't do this, and, you know, this ain't never going to happen, and this is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
What is fantastic?
Mm-hmm.
There's no such thing as fantasy. If you are thinking it, darling, it is going to manifest.
Mm-hmm.
So then why did you decide to, you know, assign it as something that can never be in this dimension when you are following the laws to manifest reality? So the key here that makes something real and manifest in your reality versus just creating thoughts out there, okay, for the light to coagulate to, but it never gets to you, is because you then seal it with impossibility. Oh, I think I would like this, and you dream all this stuff up and whatever else, and then you stamp it, impossible for me. So then the quantum particles are like, they go in the opposite direction. And
all
the time you spent, you spent creating all these thoughts, you immediately sent it back out into the cosmos because you didn't accept it for you.
Mm.
You decided it was fantasy and that it could never happen. Where the person next to you is like living your fantasy. And people have had that experience. Wow, I used to fantasize about this. And like, look at you. You're living it.
Yeah.
And the person who's living it is looking at you like, yeah, what do you think? Of course I'm living it. I thought it. Okay. I thought it. Of course, that's what I wanted. Why wouldn't I be living it?
Right.
And the other person who's like thinking that this is impossible for me, that's a self-esteem issue.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
That's a self-esteem issue. Because the person over here, wow, they're living my dream. Right. Well, how come it's not yours then, if you could identify, if you thought that?
Right.
And
right.
It's because you sent it back because you didn't feel worthy enough. You doubted it. You didn't think it was possible for you. So you shut it down. That's the only difference.
Yep. And that's
shut
power
it down.
Too. It shows their power, too, because they shut it down because they didn't act on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And what they wouldn't even continue to hold the focus. So
yeah.
They just got the little tingle that you feel good about being able to see all these things, but then you shut it down. You don't take responsibility for it. You don't hold the focus. So you stop loving it like anything else. So it's like you buy a beautiful plant, and it's like, wow, this plant's awesome. I love it. You bring it into the house, and then, you know, 3 days later, you didn't water it. Going in and out. 2 weeks later, you're looking at it and it's all drooped, etc. And you're like, wow, I forgot to water the plant. But then did you stop and water it?
And water the plant, right.
I got to change my behavior. No, you didn't. So then a week goes beyond that and the thing is laying down on the table. Totally void of moisture, everything. Leaves all brown. And you're like, wow, you know, the plant died. Yeah, it did, okay, because you did not finish the agreement. What was the agreement? You held the focus to acquire it, but then you didn't make the agreement to sustain and maintain it. Check that out. That's where a lot of people messed up. So they didn't think about, okay, yeah, now I'm going to put this in my schedule, make sure that, you know, I water the plant. I'm going to buy a little thing where it beats or something. The plant needs watering. I'm going to make sure I pass it every day, touch it, you know, how you doing? Because the plant will tell you, none of that. And that's how a lot of people treat their relationships. Okay, so we got you, whatever else. And then after that, it's like, oh, it's you? Right. And then they wonder why. Everybody's going on their own way and, you know,
way,
everything.
Yeah.
How could this be? Mm-hmm. Well, you didn't have a maintenance plan. What do you think?
Yeah.
So when we talk about purpose, you know, it has its layers and it also has its responsibilities. And when we just, as they say, go through the motions. Okay, well, it was just easy. It was there for me, whatever else. Uh-huh. Right. And those are some of the activities because of your thinking that you brought to you that become most problematic because
you
were not
happened.
Willing to right you weren't willing to take responsibility for your thinking and the whole composite of what thoughts are responsible for. You know, and I'll just end on this very simply. It's that, you know, many of these buildings that are being built, all these buildings were built by immortal beings. They were immortal. But because so much thinking was put out about the it out there, they didn't also have the same attitude, maintenance program, and care for themselves. The thought is still out there, but the body that built it has disintegrated. It died. Because for whatever reason, they didn't think that both of these objects were the same. Think about that on that relative to purpose. So, you know, do we have any callers here? Maybe have some callers? Because I do want to hear what you think about this at your drive time, because this is very important for your life. So, Ms. Muhammad, you ready for the calls? This is our last 5 minutes.
Yes, ma'am. I'm ready.
Okay. Engineer, we have anybody have questions?
Caller 235, you're unmuted. Caller 235, you are unmuted. Okay, we'll try the next caller. Caller 305, you are unmuted. Do you have any questions? Caller 305, you are unmuted. Those were the only two. It doesn't look like they have any questions.
Well,
okay. All right.
Well, we do want to say one thing that's so important, and that is you've got to come to Alaska with us. This is so, so important. So go to the university's website here, JUIS.education, Jewell University of Immortal Sciences.education, and check it out, all the details. Now, we're going to make sure next Wednesday, because you got more to do on purpose, Alicia and I, we're going to make sure that you get a better understanding of what's happening in Alaska, because what's happening in Alaska in September is an upgrade of all of your DNA. So it's important that you give us a call, visit the website, get yourself registered. You have to have training for this to learn how to consciously interact with your DNA. So when you get to Alaska with us, under the light, the northern lights. Check it out. What did I say light was? Okay. It's love that you're going to get the upgrade with all this love coming from the ninth dimension and beyond our star system. Pay attention here. These are the times. Listen, follow directions, and most of all, get your brain balanced. You got to have full brain capacity now going into this 21st century. Don't sit there any longer and think that 5-10% of the brain is okay. It's not. And it only takes 15 minutes a day for you to do this. So with that said, I saw we had one more caller come up. Can we get one more little call in before we say bye-bye?
Caller 470, you're unmuted. You have a question.
Peace and love, Dr. Jewell and Sister Felicia. This is Shifat Ali. This is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I don't really have a question. I just wanted to say how healing it is that to hear you talk about what love really is and how people aren't aware of the gift that they are while they're being the gift. And that is just so powerful.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Yes. You're welcome.
Well, please
You're welcome.
Don't look for... Yes. Don't look for the needle in the desert. It's the desert, okay? Well, it's almost time for us to go. And again, my dear understudy, I appreciate it, Ms. Felicia. You know,
thank you.
Take the time
thank
out
you.
To do this. You know, an incredible student. And we're looking for more of you to have Universal Principal Support Groups in your city. It takes a while to prepare, so you don't want to linger on this too much as to whether you should do. So I have to say goodbye. Ms. Felicia, you have anything you want to say to our audience before we go?
I just want to say thank you, peace, love, light, and be the light. So be the thoughts of the light. Be the love for yourself first
right.
and foremost.
Very much so. Remember, you are it anyway, so you might as well just accept what and who you are. So we love you. We'll see you back next Wednesday at 5 o'clock drive time. Love you much. Bye-bye.
Love you. Come wake up. Bye-bye. Namaste. Ashe. Woo-hoo.
Thank you for listening to the Jewell Network Science Broadcasting Frequency. Join Dr. Jewell here each Monday at 5 p.m. on the Jewell Network, hosted by thejewelnetwork.com and Jewell University of Immortal Sciences for Immortal Living, Jewess. For our complete broadcast schedule, additional information, and to purchase products, please visit our website, www.thejewelnetwork.com. If you'd like to contact us, please send your email to info@thejewelnetwork.net. Thank you.